Sore throat. What does sore mean? It means the focus is in the wrong place. The Bible says that God made man in his image and likeness. But it also says that we must let. In other words, God can be perfect, which of course God is, but we have to recognize it. We have to let it be in our consciousness and realize that that is the truth of our being, of the being of everyone. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the most successful Christian scientists of all time, he conducted treatments both in his office and by remote, and even discovered how to do retroactive treatments whereby the treatment was effective before he was notified, because when he would be notified, he would perform the treatment and it would be effective at a prior date. In one case, it was recorded by someone else who witnessed it. He said 5 words and it was an instantaneous healing by someone who could very well have been dead. He was had a load of rocks dumped on him, totally covered him up. Could very well have crushed his body. But he came out of it instantly without a scratch. This is what Frederick L. Rawson says about a sore throat. There is no sore throat. All is spiritual. Man's throat is the channel of consciousness through which God's ideas come and go. There is no swelling, for man is the reflection of spirit. All is free, unhampered, and infinite. He speaks with conviction because he understands the truth about man. He does not accept anything being defective. Much like Jesus, Jesus never talked about someone being dead or in trouble or sinful or sick or anything that was negative. He would always state the positive. Others may very well see the individual as being in big trouble. Jesus did not accept that. Obviously, Mr. Rawson did not either. He didn't say, "Oh, wow, that guy's really in trouble. He's probably dead or crushed." No, Mr. Rawson did not accept that kind of a diagnosis. Mary Baker Eddy defines God as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. There doesn't sound like anything is negative in there. It doesn't say anything about God creating storms or accidents or a sinful, sick, or dead individual. Everything about God is of the substance of spirit, because God is spirit. Spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, reflective. Nothing in there that's negative. Mind represents intelligence, wisdom, knowing, creative ability, capacity, capability, functionality, all action, performance, all power. God is also defined as being soul. And that means the senses, seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. But the substance of everything is spirit, which is flawless. So that means the senses are spiritual, and therefore they are flawless. How about principle? This points directly to a sore throat. There can't be any swelling if that seemed to be a part of a sore throat. Because principle is system and structure, balance, harmony. There can't be anything that is sore, which means it feels painful, abnormal. That can't be the case in reality, because principle is harmonious, in balance. How about life? Again, life has to be of the substance of spirit, because spirit is the only substance. Could there be a life that is discordant? No, because principle's there. Principle's standing by, reminding us, hey, you, the one that thinks that he has a sore throat, or she has a sore throat, or it, or someone else. How can that be? I'm principle. Everything is within the spiritual system and structure. Everything is harmonious. Everything is perfect. Perfect. So life has to be harmonious because it's in accordance with principle, system, and structure. Also, love represents plan and design. It's like an engineering blueprint. There can't be anything in that blueprint that is discordant, because principle wouldn't permit that. Then we have truth. What's the truth about man? Mr. Rosin says man is the reflection of spirit. Always free, unhampered, and infinite. And there's no swelling. Remember, the first sentence states that there is no sore throat. All is spiritual. Man's throat is the channel of consciousness through which God's ideas come and go. Do you think God makes a mistake in the ideas? Do you think he puts out a bad idea? Oh, you got a sore throat. What kind of a God would that be? Certainly not one that I would want to revere and respect and adhere to. We have to be consistent in our thinking, in our talking, and in our actions. They need to be in line with the definition of what God is. One way to think about truth is like a building. You're building a structure. You have a foundation. You have walls. Well, let's say it's a house or an office building. So you have a foundation, you have a floor, you have walls, you have a roof, doors and windows. Everything has to be in alignment. It has to be in balance. You don't want it to fall down when the wind blows. So it has to be a sound structure. You don't want the walls to be crooked. When one wall meets another one, such as at a corner, you want it to be the way it's supposed to be according to the plan. Whatever that is, it needs to be in accordance with the blueprint for the house or whatever it is that you're building. If it's off, then it's not true, it's false. If you're talking about a vertical dimension of a wall, then it better be at the right, correct angle. The vertical must be in correct angle with the floor. Everything needs to be in harmony and balance. How about love? Love is a mothering quality, nurturing, cultivating, and if you are going to be cultivating what you are supposed to be, nurturing what you're supposed to be, you're nurturing the qualities of God in your own individual consciousness, in every thought, speech, and action. You cannot make one little error if you want to have fulfillment. You have to be nurturing the quality of truth if you seem to be making mistakes. Bignell Young, very successful practitioner, excellent Christian Scientist. In fact, he brought himself back from the belief of death from drowning. He said people come to him seeking assistance, healing in their business. And he says they don't know their business. He has to send them to school or whatever to learn how to run a business, their own business, the one they want help on. God helps those who help themselves. God doesn't bring us miracles. God opens our eyes to see healing when we are ready for it. Ready for it means we've done our part. Are we studying? One of the authors listed on the website, Richard Strain, he was having an extremely difficult time with his life. He just didn't know where to go. He visited a friend that was a longtime Christian Scientist. And he was asked the question, how much time are you studying? He said, I don't have time to study. By the time I get everything done, the day's gone. I've got just enough time to sleep. Well, he was told that if he didn't study 5 hours a day, he's not going to advance the way he needs to advance. He had to do some long, hard thinking about this. But he realized he didn't have any alternative. He didn't know what to do. So he made the decision he would do it. If he did that, he would only have 1 hour to sleep each day. But he said, I'm going to do it. At the end of 1 week, I think that was like a Monday, at the end of that week, like 5 or 6 days away, his life had totally stopped the regression. And it started to turn around. He found he was able to do things quicker. He had time left over where he could study without consuming all of his time that he had been sleeping before. But he had enough time to rest, and it kept getting better and better. 5 hours a day he studied. Eventually, he was getting a good enough understanding that he was invited to speak at various places on Christian Science. He was in demand to speak at churches. We have to have that love in there. We have to nurture the qualities. Speak of nurturing the qualities. Wentworth Winslow also brought an individual back from the belief of death. He was contacted one time. This was back in the early 1900s. Where they didn't have long-distance telephone service. Telegraph was the only way to communicate to another country. And he received a telegram one time that said, 6 treatments, please. He didn't know the individual. He didn't know where he was located. He came from South America. He lived in New York. This was Mr. Winslow. So he knew it came from South America, but he didn't know where. He didn't know how to contact the guy. Didn't have enough of an address or anything to be able to get a telegram delivered. And I don't even know. Well, he probably had the name signed. But he didn't know what the problem was, how long they had had the problem, or any of the circumstances around it. So the only thing he knew to do was to do what we're talking about here, to purify his consciousness, his thought, speech, and action, to do the very best he could to live the life of Christ Jesus. Have the Christ consciousness be his consciousness. Six treatments, please. That was his message. So that's what he did. He tried in every way possible to be reflecting the perfection of God. Perfection, by the way, is a quality of love. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy even states, perfect love casts out fear. And fear is one of the one of the biggest problems why people are sinful, sick, or dead. So that's what he did. That's how he conducted his life. A little bit later, he received another telegram. He said, 6 more treatments, please. And he said to himself, I don't know what else I can do besides what I'm doing. So he kept on going. Every moment, he was conscious of the fact that he needed to be living the life of perfection, the purity of spirit, which is flawless. He said he would sing every day in the morning when he woke up. He said he didn't know whether his neighbors would appreciate it or not, but that's what he did. Apparently nobody said anything to him or tried to prevent him from doing it. I don't know how close the houses were. He was very successful. He lived in a very affluent area. But he was devoted totally. That was his sole profession. Helping people understand who they were. Seeing them as God's perfect idea. So he gave 6 more treatments. And sometime later he was contacted by the individual. I don't know how this came about. But Mr. Winslow asked him, he says, you didn't give me any details. What did the problem seem to be? He says, it was a belief of insanity. He said, and was there not any progress in the first 6 treatments? And this was for someone else, it wasn't himself. And he said, yes, he was healed. He said, why did you ask for the second 6 treatments? He said, because the people around him didn't believe that he was healed. They didn't accept it. They couldn't imagine that he could have been healed in a almost, I don't know whether it was 1 treatment a day or what, but, you know, must have been no more than like 6 days or something. He said, yeah, they wouldn't accept it. It's funny, but he was led to send a telegram without giving any details. Well, that sure kept it from being personalized. Certainly would prevent any effort in diagnosis. Mary Baker Eddy says that in order to heal a case, we need to analyze to find out where the problem is, and I don't mean, you know, gory details, but she indicates that we need to dig down to the root of the problem and expose it and explain it away with the truth. Well, all he could do was explain away the overall belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. But the purity of the life he was leading was what healed the individual. So what is in our consciousness? It needs to be nothing but God-derived ideas. Qualities of God. I had a longtime friend Christian Scientist. And she said, qualities, qualities. Everything is qualities. I visited her and her husband one time at their home. And when I arrived, they were watching the Summer Olympics. And she said, would you like to watch them with us? And of course, I did. And there was a gymnast that was performing. Boy, it was smooth as glass. Smooth as glass. And she says, look at the grace. See, she was thinking of qualities. Look at the grace. She wasn't thinking about how difficult it might be. She was looking at the quality, how everything was so smooth and in alignment and balance and perfect in execution. What are we thinking about if we seem to have an irritation in our throat? Maybe a change of the tone of the throat, which seems to be a common trait of this belief. We need to keep our thought on one thing. That is God. What is God? How does it apply to this situation right now? The Bible tells us that God made everything that was made. And behold, it was very good, it says in Genesis. Behold, it was very good. I think that means it's totally perfect. I would believe that that has to be the understanding that's related to that statement. I mean, spirit itself is defined as being good. So very good, that probably relates to that adjective that said supreme in her definition on page 465 that I stated at the beginning. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We're involved in those qualities all the time. Are we thinking of them as a spiritual quality? Well, that's the plan and design of love. Love makes sure everything works properly. It's like an oil, a lubricant, where everything is smooth. There was a car, I don't know whether it's still manufactured or not, I don't keep up on cars, but it was called a Buick, B-U-I-C-K, and it had an automatic transmission in it. This was in there when automatic transmissions just came out, and they had engineered it so that you could not feel. I never had a Buick, but supposedly you could not feel the shifting of the gears. Other cars that had automatic transmissions, there was a definite surge when you went from one gear to another one. And this one, they called it Dynaflow. It was so smooth you couldn't feel anything change in the transmission, apparently. I think that's how they advertise it. Well, that's what we need to be experiencing, just like that gymnast. Are we going from mind to spirit to soul, principle, life, truth, and love in our thoughts with a smooth transition? There are four operators in mathematics called add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And there's also four in the system of divine metaphysics. By the way, Mary Baker Eddy refers to the system of divine metaphysics in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which is the textbook of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy. And she refers to it on page 146, beginning line 31. I think it's rare that those who are studying the textbook pay much attention to it. There's only, seems like, a very few number that are really aware that Christian Science can be demonstrated by anyone if they follow the system. That's what she says. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. It seems like the common belief about Jesus is that he was God, or is God. In fact, I've heard people refer to him as their personal God, like he is only for them. What kind of a God would that be? Would it be leaving everyone else out? The Bible makes it clear that God is omnipresent. How could God be omnipresent if he was a person? If he was someone with a physical body? Qualities are the only thing that could be omnipresent. It's like the quality of seven, or 3, or 14, or 8 trillion. That's available to everyone. If you need a 7 in your mathematics, you can be in one country and you could have a friend in another country and you're both using the 7 at the same time. There's no limit to how many people are using it at the same time or how many times anyone uses it. Because it's an idea. A 7 is an idea. And it always works the same way because it is in a system that is proven to be true. It's in a structure, the mathematical tables. If you add 7 and 1, it's always going to be 8. Or 15 and 10. It's always going to be 25. If you square 3, it's always going to be 9. If you take the square root of 9, it's always going to be 3. Mathematics is fixed in the way it operates. We may make a mistake, but that's not the mistake of mathematics. Mathematics has been proven to be an accurate way to use it for counting. If we utilize the system of divine metaphysics, the healing will work all the time. It's not a miracle. Anything that appears to be a miracle is just means that the individual that is saying that doesn't understand what's going on. Jesus did not explain to us how to heal. He certainly gave us the examples, but have we really studied to see what is involved in it? Did he hate the soldiers that came and arrested him? Which sure is a funny way to heal it. I mean, a funny way to hate someone if you're going to heal them. Peter cut the ear off of one of them and Jesus said, "Put up thy sword." Jesus immediately healed the man that had his ear cut off. we have to use the qualities of God, or let them use us, and we need to let them regenerate our thinking. They need to be embedded in our consciousness all the time. We need to remind ourselves of what they are. In fact, that's what prayer is. Prayer is reminding ourselves of the perfection of God, the perfection of man, and the relationship between God and man, and the relationship between God and everything that exists in all existence. There can't be any discordant event. There can't be any nuclear war. There can't be any volcanic eruption. There can't be any storm of any kind, whether it's wind, fire, rain, whatever. Insurance companies, they love to say, well, this is an act of God, so you're not covered. They try to blame catastrophes on God. It is becoming very exposed now about the biggest fire that we've ever had in the history of America, which is taking place in Texas right now. Today happens to be the 18th of March, 2024. I don't know what the status is of it now, that fire. But a few days ago, they said it was the worst fire that there'd ever been. And it covered more area than had ever been covered by a catastrophic fire. But anyway, it's been exposed now that the fire was started by the U.S. government. They call the vehicle that was used DEW, Direct Energy Weapons. It's public information now. In fact, it was suspected from the very beginning that the government was involved in doing it. The government is trying to destroy the food supply and the food processing plants and food resources by destroying the food. They've blown up or set on fire chicken farms, which has destroyed the poultry business, the dairy business, dairy cattle. Here they were destroying the beef cattle. The water they're destroying with chemicals. Energy. They stopped all production of energy. And they've blown up oil refinery plants. The money, they've taken all of the things that are needed for a civilization, and they're attempting to destroy them all. For the last, 20 years or so, interest rates have been like at zero. But try charging something on a credit card and not paying the balance at the end of 30 days. They've been charging like 20% interest. Interest rates were basically at around zero. But your credit card rate was like 20%. 20% a year. Anything over 6 used to be considered usury. And now they 20%. Unbelievable. If we are not alert, we could experience a sore throat being sore at the government and what they're doing to try to destroy America. How about the media? There are a lot of fake people in there. Many of them have been executed for treason. So they make another one that looks like them with a rubber suit or a mask of maybe just the head, maybe the suit that goes all the way down to the waist or at least cover the chest. They use CGI, which is computer graphics. Doubles, actors. The President of the United States is an actor, Arthur Roberts. Look it up on the internet. I would recommend you use Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X, not Yahoo, but Yandex, because they don't censor. All of the big ones in the U.S. censor what you get when you put in a search term. Yeah, you put it in there, you'll get all the articles that explain everything I'm talking about here. In fact, we've got a lot of it on the website so that we can wake people up to what they need to realize that they need to treat in their prayers. And we teach you how to pray. We utilize the first chapter of Science and Health, which is on prayer, and many other things from Mary Baker Eddy and some other very inspired Christian Scientists, such as the ones that are mentioned. We have over 90 different authors, 90 different authors that are advanced Christian Scientists, and we quote from them or we use their ideas to integrate into other ideas that will give you a flow so you can understand how this all fits together, so you can connect your own dots. We always highly recommend everyone do their own research. Do your own study. Don't just listen to one of our recordings, one of our treatments. Even an article, if you read an article, just don't say, oh, that sounds good, and then put it away. No, you should be writing your own articles. You should be thinking when you read an article, what does that mean to me? How can I use that in my life today? How can I let that help me solve the problem? We must remember, if we're sore about something, whether it's our throat or anything else, we need to make it our own and dig for the real meaning to understand it. And don't be afraid to use the dictionary. The 1828 Noah Webster is one of the best ones. If you want to know how to pronounce a word, go to vocabulary or dictionary.com, and they give you pronunciations on all the words. Excellent resource. And in fact, they provide the derivation on a large number of words. Yeah, they tell you the origin of the word. That's very valuable, very important to know. Mary Baker Eddy talks about that throughout the textbook. She will quote what the origin is, what it really means, but we need to do our own studying. Words that we think we understand, we might be better off looking them up to make sure that we're not taking our own bias. How about the word body? Many years ago, I used to think body meant the thing we see in the mirror. If we're shaving for a man or a woman who uses makeup and looks in the mirror and puts on the makeup and so forth. No, that's not it. Body is everything in our experience. Whether it's a friend, our family, our business, an event, anything at all that is in our thought, speech, or action is our body. It's like the container of our existence. And hopefully, it's going to be a high percentage of spirit. We're going to be thinking about spiritual things, and then we will become more spiritual the more we think about the qualities of God. I started to talk about the four operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. In the system of divine metaphysics, the four operators are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word means the facts about God. John Morgan was a very advanced Christian Scientist, and he wrote a book called Dissolving Barriers, and it includes the themes of each of the 17 chapters of Science and Health. He doesn't give it on the chapter 18, which is the Testimonies of Healing, 100 pages, because that's obvious what the theme of that is. Mary Baker Eddy indicates that those are people that were healed by just reading Science and Health. They didn't have any outside help. They were just reading Science and Health. Many of them started with a big skepticism because they came to the end of their rope and maybe somebody else suggested to them that they consider Christian Science because they were out of options. Well, Mr. Morgan, that wrote the theme on each of the 17 chapters, and they're only a few words, only take you a minute to read it, but it really helps you stay focused on what the purpose is of the chapter. And also, Mary Baker Eddy has introductory quotes at the beginning of the chapter. And boy, valuable. It's like a gold mine just to read those quotes and to keep those in consciousness and in active thought while you're reading anything out of that chapter. And the most valuable of all to me are the three at the beginning of the textbook. The very first one is a quote from John. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The second one is by Shakespeare. Nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Imagine, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Two different people can be looking at the same object or the same individual or the same event and have totally different opinions about it. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. The wisest literary poet of all time. And the third one is, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. That's by Mary Baker Eddy, thanking God and acknowledging the benefits that God provides to us when we follow Him, which is also following Christ Jesus, because Jesus was following God. So, add, subtract, multiply, and divide is in math, and the Word is the first one in system of divine metaphysics. The second one is the Christ, and the Christ means that we need to focus on the spiritual in all existence. That's the only reality, is what is based on the substance of spirit. Jesus saw the perfect man when others were seeing a sinning mortal man. they were seeing somebody that was blind or ill or dead. He said Lazarus is sleeping. Or maybe he said that about Tabitha. Sleeping. No, I think he said that about Lazarus. And he said, I shall go and awake him. Or anyway, whatever. Whichever one it was. Jesus did not see the individual as being dead. But just needed to be awakened. Well, that's what the Christ is all about. It's seeing perfection instead of what appears to mortal eyes as being a problem. That's the Christ. So we have to, first of all, have an appreciation of what God is. The kind of things I've been talking about here in the definition of God from page 465 in Science and Health. And you have to be pretty desperate before you can really even get an understanding about, even getting a little understanding about what God is. You have to be at the point almost where you have given up on everything else in your life. You're really totally exhausted and exasperated. And then when you do get some understanding about what these words mean, and by the way, Helen Wright, who is the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, wrote a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And she has, of the chapters in there, seven of them are devoted to each of the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I cannot recommend any book more in order to get a better understanding of those seven synonymous terms for God. Absolutely key to understanding what the system is all about and understanding what God is all about and being able to heal any problem that confronts you. Mary Baker Eddy says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? Well, what are you going to focus on if you don't even know the definition of God? God is not a man. Forget about carrying around a cross with Jesus hanging on there in crucifixion. Think about the crown that Mary Baker Eddy wore on her jewelry. The cross with the crown on top. Not with Jesus hanging on there in crucifixion, but how he overcame the belief of death and rose above all sense of materiality. That's what we got to keep our thought on. The book of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. Put the old man behind you. Grab onto the new man in new heaven and new earth. Mr. Rawson talks about when you're praying that you need to think about you being perfect in a perfect heaven governed by a perfect God. He basically says to think about that immediately after you say there is no sore throat or anything else that is the problem. Could be there is no death. Or there is no, whatever, toothache, or, you know, no broken arm, or no discord in the meeting. No discord in the family. Whatever. Anything that is unlike God, you deny that it is real. And then you explain why. You don't just say, well, there is no sin, and then just go about your business. No, that is the worst thing you can do, because that's ignoring it. You have to tear it apart. You have to expose it. And you have to keep in mind that so many times what we think is a problem because we're analyzing it from the symptom, it is not the problem at all. But what is showing up as a problem is only a decoy to detract us from really attacking what the real problem is. Politicians are famous for that these days. Well, they probably always have been. You know, that's what all these false flags are. Well, that's what the fire is. They want the attraction to be on the fire instead of the fact that, you know, your beef is being destroyed. I don't eat beef myself, but, you know, a lot of people do. Doesn't matter. They're probably poisoning everything. We know they're poisoning the water. Anyone that drinks anything other than bottled water, where it has removed all those things, such as fluoride and all this other stuff they're putting in there, is not using intelligence. So we've got to make sure that we really are not working on a decoy, but we're working on solving the real problem. If you have an accident on your car, or driving your car, are you on the way to a meeting, a very important meeting? Well, the problem is probably not the accident with the car. The problem is probably what's going on with that meeting and why is it so important. And you might need to know that nothing can prevent whatever needs to take place to be taking place. I know that the government has caused floods in areas where people were very pro-America. You know, instead of just accepting what the corrupt politicians are trying to say, they have to understand that nothing can prevent the evil from being exposed and for the freedom of America to be successful. They created a snow in the Great Lakes area. The snow was made out of synthetics. There's a video that I saw just a couple days ago. A guy had a blowtorch and he had a pick. And the pick would not break up this huge ball of snow that they had accumulated to try to roll it out of the way because they couldn't break it up. Made out of, they said it looked like it was, it felt, it acted like it was styrofoam. Synthetic snow. Well, someone, there's a video right now on the internet about somebody that had put a hamburger away somewhere. And McDonald's, and it was like, I don't know, 15 years ago, I guess it was. And it's just like when they, you know, when they bought it. They discovered it was made out of plastic. That's what you're buying. That's the food they're selling. It's unbelievable. We have to be alert about every single thing. And don't accept the decoy. So is there any truth to a sore throat, or is it only being upset about something, rejecting something? Well, we've got to do more than reject it. We can't be sore about it. We have to solve the problem. We have to solve the problem. We have to share what we find out with others that are receptive. We have to expose it, not just to our one little thought. We have to expose it to the world. If you have a blog, you know, put it on there. Put the video on there. Put the facts on there so that people can see it. We have to... The thing that they don't want to have happen is unity. Because if the truth is unified among all the people that know it, it'll destroy all of the error. It will destroy the fake. And boy, that's the one thing that they fear. And I say they, I'm talking about evil. We've got to make a special effort not to personalize and talk about a person, but we need to just consider it as evil. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. In the Bible, it says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I mean, if people really knew what they were doing, they wouldn't do it. They're just mesmerized or hypnotized themselves. That's what they do. They evil. Okay? They will get somebody drugged up and get them involved in a promiscuous activity, take a video of them, and then blackmail them. Yeah, it's exactly what happens. What do they do with doctors? The medical industry that has all these drugs that they're selling. They pay the doctors to promote the drugs. They pay them. I mean, can you imagine going into a store and they say, "Well, if you will buy this, I will pay you this amount of money." That's got to give you a clue about what a sore throat is all about. Are you sore about, do you know about it? Do you even know about it? And if so, are you getting sore about it? Or are you getting disgusted? No, that doesn't help. Are you getting discouraged? Doesn't help. Getting depressed? That doesn't help. The only thing that helps is for you to understand what the truth is and to expose the evil and explain it away with the truth. In other words, think about what are the qualities of God and how that is the opposite of what the problem is. And if you focus on the qualities of God and connect the dots and say, "Well, that's, you know, this other can't be true. How can this accident be an act of God? There's nothing that says that God creates accidents. That's only a belief that people believe because they've been told that." And the media is absolutely no help because they are all controlled by the fraudulent government. Yeah, totally under control of the government. In fact, it's something like, I think, it's a low percentage that believe the media. You got to make sure you're not one that does. And also Congress. I think it's 16% approval rating on Congress. 16%, 1/6. It used to be that used car salesmen were the ones that had the lowest credibility with anyone. But they're way above politicians. And the politicians, they're drunk with whatever, with the money they're being paid or the promiscuous activities or whatever they're doing. Literally, forgive them for they know not what they do. We can't forgive the evil, but we try to get our thought off of the person. We don't want a sore throat. We don't want to sore anything. We must have our thought on truth. And that's what we focus on. Oh, by the way, we only got to Christ. Christianity is demonstrating. That's demonstrating what the facts are about God and what it is when we can purify our consciousness. Then we prove it. We prove it. We put it together. That's what the system is all about. We put it together. The kind of things I'm talking about here, you know, an accident can't be real. That's the demonstration. Okay? Talking about what the qualities are and reversing our thinking then leads us to proving it. And if we have step number one and step number two clear enough in thought, then we can heal it. We can heal the situation. And we don't try to heal. We really don't want to try to heal any situation. I said that incorrectly. What we want to do is we want to reform our thought about it. Remember in the beginning I said two different people can have a totally opposite opinions about the same thing? Well, we have to realize that the transformation has to be in thought, the thought about the situation. We can't change the situation because the situation is that God is all in all and everything is perfect. God created man in his image and likeness. God created everything. And that's what we have to get a more clear understanding about. Well, the fourth operator is science. And science means that we are automatically recognizing everything the way it should be. Where it's an automatic interpretation and translation. That is the highest level. That is the divine level. We're focusing on the absolute, the divine level. Dr. Einstein, well, most people just call him Einstein. He said some very, very wonderful things about Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. He said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." Thou means Mary Baker Eddy, and in this book means Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. He also said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. He said that about 1950. So you've got to remember the context in which he's saying that. 80 years ago, women could not vote. This is when he said it in 1950. So that means he was talking about probably around 1870. She discovered Christian Science in 1866. So yeah, that's about right. 80 years ago would be just about the time she discovered it and wrote the first edition of Science and Health in 1875, actually. He said, imagine a woman. See, a woman couldn't own property in her own name. She couldn't vote. And she was very suppressed. Well, in Jesus' time, they would say, well, there's 4,000 people that attended the meeting or the hillside where he gave them food and 5,000 in another case, plus women and children. They didn't count women or children as even being real. They said, well, 4,000. So we're talking about 4,000 men. Everything was a man. If you weren't a man, you didn't get counted. Now it's the opposite. If you are a man, they don't want you to be counted. They only count the women. Anyway, you get the idea. So we want to work to be in science, where everything is automatically translated to reality. We must remember those five words and try to strive to understand them that Mr. Rawson said when he healed the man that had the load of rocks dumped on him. There is nothing but God. Nothing but God. There is nothing but God. That means God is what we should be focusing on. Mary Baker Eddy says God is all in all. The first all in capital A, meaning that it's all source, and the second A being the lowercase, which means all manifestation. So God is the source and God is the manifestation. And where does that leave us? We're the reflection. We're the reflection. Or we're the little all, the little A, the manifestation, whereas The source is the absolute and the manifestation is the relative. We're working up to understanding the divine. Mary Baker Eddy said that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus, this is a paraphrase, enabled his divinity. So, humanity. What is humanity? It's utilizing mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love on a relative basis, a day-to-day, in everything that we're thinking, saying, and doing. We need to be loving our neighbor as ourself. That's a relative term. If we say God is love, that's an absolute. God is love. Impersonal. If we say love our neighbor as ourselves, that's not impersonal, that's relative. Two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second one, love thy neighbor as thyself. If we do those two things, we will see progress at a rapid rate. Even though Mary Baker Eddy says, by quoting the Bible, line upon line, no, I'm sorry, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So precept means the facts, and line upon line means that we are, it's like expanding from a one dimension, which is a straight line, to, you know, width and height, and then depth. So to make it three-dimensional. In other words, we need to be comprehensive in our consideration, our progress. And we need to make a little each day. So it says line upon line, and then it says here a little, there a little. So don't try to accomplish everything in one day. Just take a little step. Try to add one thing new to your understanding each day. One little thing. And if we do that every day, we've added 365 new things in 1 year. And in fact, we will get the benefit of compounding. Because if we add one thing one day and one the next day, we're starting from a foundation of two instead of a foundation of zero. There is no sore throat. We can't let anything be, we cannot accept anything as being out of balance or inharmonious, discordant. We don't accept any dis-ease, but only accept harmony and balance, the oil of perfection. Treat everyone as we want to be treated. And don't accept evil as normal. Don't eat bugs. Forget eating bugs and giving a government things that belong to you. Own nothing and eat bugs. That's what they want us to do. Well, we're not going to be manipulated by an individual. We are going to only be under the control of the one divine mind, period. Amen.